Today, we're talking about all things nutrition. When shooting for what you should be eating, you are always moving towards ideal.
So the reason keto works is it's a lot more metabolic energy to turn beef jerky into sugar than it is to turn gummy bears into sugar.
Yep. So we are taking in an incredible amount of crap in our food.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dose Adjustment Podcast. Today we're talking about all things nutrition. We're going to cut through all of the fad diets and trendy stuff and just really get down to brass tacks, you know, what matters when it comes to what we should eat, when we should eat it, how much of it we should eat. I'm going to keep it really simple today, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so nutrition's absolutely the base of health. You know, you got exercise, you got nutrition, you got sleep, right?
Yep.
Those are the bases. So here's kind of what I tell my patients. This is my nutrition in 100 words or less. Calories are how much you weigh. Macronutrients are how you look. Micronutrients are how you feel.
Yeah.
You get those things balanced, you're good to go.
Yeah. Well, let's jump in. Let's talk about calories. So forever, right? We say calories matter, calories don't matter. The scientists go back and say calories matter. The keto guys say calories don't matter. Just eat chicken and fat. What's the truth?
Okay, so calories matter in the sense ideal body weight times 12 is your calories per day.
Ideal body weight times 12 is your calories per day.
Yeah, so like what's your target weight? You know, so like mine, I'm 205 right now, 210 maybe. I would like, I'm my best at like 195. So 195 times 12 is my ideal body weight.
Right. And so when shooting for what you should be eating, you're always moving towards ideal, not current.
Yeah, not current. Okay. Current's maintenance, right? Like if you get there, then your calories are going to change, right? Like what happens is if you keep going lower and lower and lower, and you have to feed your body for what you're trying to do. And so there's weight loss versus maintenance versus the other stuff too. So if you can take that number and you're down there. So then you break it down further, right? So now you've got your calories. So we're going to go ideal body weight times 12. Super simplistic. There you go. Then we're going to talk, like, you got kind of three kinds of things, right? You got protein, you got fat, you got carbs. That's your diet's broken down into that. Okay? Yep. So, gets even easier. Little bit of math. Protein is 4 calories per gram. Okay? So, let's work off a, say, 2,000 calorie a day diet for simplicity's sake, right? So, if protein's 4 calories per gram and I'm going to do half of my diet, 50% protein, which will keep you full. It'll fuel your muscles, fuel your brain, all these things, right? So that means I need 250 grams of protein per day.
Per day,
right? That's my weightlifting. You know, that's what I'm wanting to maintain my muscles and do the things I need to do. Then I want 30% fats, good fats, not like Doritos, like, you know, like avocados, like the good fats, right? Not seed oils and other stuff. And then you got your carbs, unrefined carbs. So fats are 9 calories per gram. So you're going to have a little bit of that. That's not going to be so much because there's so many grams. So when you're weighing this out, like you're measuring it out. And then finally, carbs, 20% a day, another 50%. Carbs are also 4 calories per gram. So it's pretty.
So it seems really simple. The math is there. We got to be high protein. But when you're looking over like your patient population or like the people that are coming into my place every day, they are struggling with this for some reason incredibly. And if I ask them, hey, how much protein are you getting per day? I get a blank look. And they're like, oh, I don't know, a lot maybe.
Well, here's the other thing that kind of is very interesting. So protein and like what is bioavailable has to have all 9 amino acids for you to use it, right? To be completely useful. Well, to take something and like a food label, it'll say this many grams of protein. And then it has a percentage daily allowance. So here's how the FDA works that. The FDA recommended protein per day is 50 grams. That's the number they use. That's not enough, but that's just the scalable number. So then you have the percentage of daily allowance, right? So mm-hmm. if you look at something like cottage cheese and it says it has 20 grams of protein, it's going to say 40% daily allowance because it's all useful protein. Where if you take like protein plus cereal or whatever, and you look at that, it'll say 20 grams of protein, 20% daily allowance. Because not all the protein in that food
is actually
bioavailable. So basically, when you're looking at a protein label, it is the percentage divided by 2 is how much useful protein is actually in there.
So from a practical standpoint, let's say, you know, you're police, firefighter, lawyer, whatever it is, you got a busy day going on. How do you, you know, what's your recommendation? How do people hit that protein goal day in and day out? I know I've got kind of my take on it, but I want to hear like what's your words of wisdom here?
Eat the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's what I had to do.
Just you know, keep it boring.
Like I did. It's like, okay, protein shake, cottage cheese, eggs. So, you know, a cup of cottage cheese and 3 eggs is 56 grams of protein.
Yep.
Right. One of those, I don't know, whatever you sell them out there, ready to drink protein shakes, 30 grams, 40 grams. Some of you can get 50 grams and, you know, just find the one that doesn't taste like horrible.
Yep.
But even the way I drink those, I chug those things because I don't think any of them taste good. So I'm like, and throw it away. The protein's in there and it's like fueling up the tank.
Literally been a winning strategy for me. So like I come in, I have 3 eggs typically. If I've thawed ahead and actually boiled them and peeled them, I'll have 3 eggs. And then I will just crush 1 or 2 or 3 of those. And that's literally all I'm eating until about dinner time.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have time to go out to lunch. I don't have time to grab anything. So I'm grabbing protein bars. Right. And maybe real food is better. We could argue that real food is better. And it's probably true. But, you know, with the 3 egg base every day and then a couple of protein drinks, like I'm up over 150 grams before I ever get home on a daily basis consistently.
Yeah. And I think that's what it is. I think that anything, because we kind of always fall back into this thing where we're talking about optimization, human performance, what's best for you. Well, we're both busy.
Yeah.
It has to be scheduled, regimented. It's why I have to work out at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm not working out. It's why I have to, it has to be built in that way. Like I've even got to the point now where I'm doing the old man thing with my supplements and I have a pill box. You know, like I've got the 1 month pill box. I'm like, okay, open, drop, take pills. You know,
the 1 month pill box. That's an overachiever. I also recently I bought customized pill boxes with my wife and my name on it. They're really high end. They're metal. They're amazing. We do a week at a time. But yeah, I geek out on that a little bit too.
And it's like, what do you do to do it? Because you know, you do that, and then all of a sudden I look over, and my son's in a tree, and he's like, just trying to light something on fire, and I'm like, I've lost my whole morning because he's whatever that may be. So it's, I don't know, like but the nutrition. Back to what we were talking about.
50% protein,
yes.
Right? So I'm gonna agree and say, right, it keeps you full, it keeps you satiated, and it's kind of a chore to get it in, and I'm really not hungry throughout the day because I'm literally just trying to get these different, you know, protein avenues within the body. So I'm a huge fan of that. Let's talk about carbohydrates. People have a love-hate relationship with carbs. Obviously, they taste amazing.
Well, but here's the thing. We refine them. We add sugar. So your body, what the end state fuels our body is glucose. Period. End of story. Brain only uses glucose, right? It has to turn everything into glucose. So the reason keto works is it's a lot more metabolic energy to turn beef jerky into sugar than it is to turn gummy bears into sugar.
Yep,
period.
100%.
That's why it works. So all of these diets, like all of these things, they all, like every diet, whatever comes on some tenet of a nutrition that's like, oh, well, we can do this. Well, really you're kind of tricking the system. If you do it in balance, like, so this is an interesting thing. And I kind of back checked this because I'm like, no way. No one in the world ate cereal before 1906. Didn't exist. Right?
I can see that.
And it was like, okay.
This is a General Kellogg story.
Kellogg story is like this. So that didn't exist. So then they got with the Chiquita Banana Company and like put out ads all over New York Times. It's like, hey, everybody should eat, you know, cornflakes with a banana. That's the best breakfast ever. Well, they just made that shit up.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no basis for it. I mean, prior to that, what were we eating? Meat and vegetables.
Sausage.
Meat and vegetables.
Yeah, eggs, right? Bacon, stuff of that nature.
And so.
All right. Well, so let's say in any given week, right, you probably see 100 different men come into your practice. Mm-hmm. From a nutrition standpoint and from a health standpoint, What are these men? What are their goals? Is it weight loss? Is it putting on muscle? Do you find that men are generally physically fit? Like, what are you moving them towards? Because I know it's like different strokes for different folks. Mm-hmm. If you're training for a marathon mm-hmm. or for a competition, obviously the recommendation is going to look a lot different, right? But what do you see clinically on kind of percentage basis?
I see a lot of guys. I would say it's about 60-40, they're finally in seeing a doctor. So usually what happens with guys is someone in their life told them they need to finally go see a doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't go see a doctor, and they're like, okay, I haven't been to a doctor in 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Like, I don't go to doctors. And then they have literally no idea how bad it actually is.
Yep.
So then you're doing the thing where they're afraid to even ask the questions, and you start down that road, and you're just like, I'm super blunt. I'm like, what's going on? It's like, well, you are 40 pounds overweight. Yep. You know, like, we can fix that, but this is what you got to do. And it's not that it's like I'm the perfect specimen of health or anything like that. It's just like, hey, this will make you feel better. Period. End of story. Like, if you're carrying around 40 pounds of body fat, that's heavy. That's exhausting. It's not it's not useful, right? So what do we do with that? And metabolic syndrome and all things. So we talk about diet, and basically what I just spit out here, that's my first go-to with everybody. It's like, let's start with simple things first. This is how many calories you need a day. You know, like, I am a huge fan of ChatGPT in this regard.
Okay.
I get all my patients on there. I was like, hey, guess what? Ask ChatGPT, take the stuff that you like and tell it to give you a healthy version of that, a healthy recipe of that. It'll make your shopping list. It'll tell you where the sales are. It's a pretty cool tool.
What do you feel about the practicality of tracking tools? You know, I've gone long periods where I've tracked everything. And when you track everything and you stick to it, you get amazing results.
You do.
But let's be honest, you know, we don't always have time to do it.
I have never had time to do it. I mean, I basically wing it. Not in the sense, like, I know what I'm going to eat, but the tracking tool for me is the consistency of I'm boring in what I eat.
Right.
Like cottage cheese, Greek yogurt, chicken breast, steak, vegetables.
So you got a really good basis in understanding where you're going gram for gram.
Right. So I know that this is this, and this is what I'm going to eat, you know. Yeah. I think that's the trick. But I mean, that's what, you know, factory meals and all these other things are selling. Same concept. What are you doing? I order these meals. They're proportioned out. They're done. It's just paying for boring.
And I think I'm very similar in that way. Like, I'm doing the calculation all day long. It's like, oh, I'm about 80 grams and 110 grams. I'm here, I'm there. I've got a really good, from those times of tracking and understanding how many grams of protein are in everything, I'm in a pretty good spot there. I know carbs aren't the enemy. I'm not a fan of sugar. I'm kind of always counseling people away from sugar, right? From a health perspective, you know, I'm a pharmacist, so we're always concerned with diabetes, heart disease, stroke, sugar. Refined.
I mean, sugar's a straight up addiction.
100%.
It absolutely is. Like, I absolutely have a sweet tooth. I mean, I'm trying to get myself from drinking sodas just by drinking Coke Zero, just to wean myself down from that. You know, like, I went for forever where I would drink sweet tea. That was my go-to, and it would get me. You know, it makes fat. Yeah. Period. End of story.
100%. 100%. Well, I think you said, like, the sugar cartel. Sugar cartel.
Domino sugar is a cartel. Yeah, period. End of story.
But the point being is, I think tracking your macros absolutely works. There is no doubt about it. You know, I always try to look at what I can do for the long term, right? And that's probably getting a good basis of tracking your macros for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Some people can do it for a lifetime, you know, and that's amazing. And God bless them, you know.
Absolutely.
But I think if you get a really good understanding of the nutritional macro nutrient value of your food, you can really start running that calculation in your mind if you happen to be one of those type of people.
Absolutely. And you can run it, and you can, like, understand what portions are. That's the other thing is, Americans, we have no idea what portion sizes are. Your portion size is like the palm of your hand, you know, not your whole hand.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, growing up, especially when I was super young, we didn't have like a ton of money or anything else. And so, like, I always wanted to get like the maximum amount of food, like per dollar, right? So you can go to the restaurant, like, I'm hoping to go to a restaurant that has a Casa Amigo style full plate of food so I can eat to my heart's content. And I think when I was young too, I didn't really understand nutrition that well. It was the late 80s and early 90s. Our parents were doing the absolute best that they could, but they had no idea what these food companies were actually
pumping
in that crap.
Think about, like, just snack commercials from the 90s. Like neon orange ketchup.
Yep.
Like, you know, just like crazy. Just, this shit was crazy.
100%. And, you know, and my parents loved me and they wanted the best for me, but, you know, I got to pick out all of my cereals that I wanted to eat. I got all of my ho-hos and ding-dongs and, you know, whatever else, Pop-Tarts.
But that is a problem, is that the cheap, crappy food crappy food is cheap.
100%.
Like we make it cheap. Like it should not be expensive to eat healthy, and it is for whatever reason. Like, okay, well, if we refine this tomato and put it in a jar, you know, it costs as much as a tomato.
Yeah.
Like it's nuts.
Yeah. So what's interesting is, you know, we'll do, my wife and I will do a lot of these like 14 day, no sugar, no refined carbohydrates. So no rice, no bread, no pasta, type things. And it's incredibly difficult to eat anywhere. Like we end up going to Chipotle for like 5 nights a week and just getting the toppings, you know, and I think it's tough for people out there. If you're not planning ahead, if they don't have the protein supplements, so to speak, it can be really difficult.
It absolutely is because, well, I mean, any restaurant you go to in Indian River County, like, and if, you know, not bagging on anybody or whatever.
Which is the
like,
proxy for the country.
Proxy for country, right, is you're getting your food from Cheney Brothers or Sysco.
Yep.
Like every restaurant has the same Sysco truck unloading the same food, and they're just making their spin on it with spices. Like it's the same stuff.
Yep.
Everywhere. It is absolutely that. So if you're not finding getting your, that's why everybody, I mean, where do you go? You can probably count on one hand the restaurants you can go to where you don't feel terrible after you eat whatever they're serving because it's all processed. It's all whatever. And it's all the same.
Yeah, 100%. So here I eat at their Indian restaurant and Chipotle. I think it's the only two places I go in town anymore. Unless it's a, you know, a birthday party or for a celebration, you'll go out to a couple of nice restaurants, have a steak and whatnot. I guess that's the alternative, right? Find a steak and vegetable place, which they are still out there.
Yeah.
You know, the outbacks of the world.
Yeah, and then you're kind of getting what you're getting. But it is that. But that's calories and that's, you know, that's proteins. So, you know, calories again. Ideal weight times 12. It's a good starting place. Macronutrients, protein is 4 calories per gram, fats are 9, carbs are 4, you know, and you just kind of do the math and work it out. And you can make things you like and keep it boring. Now you get into the other side of it. I know, and before we talked about supplements and like diet, I think whole food and all that stuff can make up for diet supplementation, but let's be realistic, most people aren't doing that. You know, I mean myself right now. I mean, I could be sitting there drinking a cup of water, and I'm not. I'm drinking a freaking Coke, right? Like, so it's all of that. So what are you missing? What are you losing, stripping away? I mean, coffee strips stuff out of our you know, minerals out of us, like all these different things, and we drink all of it every day. Monsters, energy drinks, all this stuff. So what are we missing? What do we need?
Yeah. So on a micronutrient level, I think probably in your practice and the lab work that I get to see is most often how we identify either through symptoms, how people are feeling, we're identifying micronutrient deficiencies, or you're literally straight up seeing it in the blood work. So from a blood work and symptom perspective, what do you think the number one micronutrient that men and women are missing, you know, right now in the U.S.?
Vitamin D. All day. I mean, vitamin D and magnesium probably, but vitamin D in the supply, like I've pulled thousands of labs and we pull our own labs at our office and all this stuff. And I have had maybe 25 people come back with a normal vitamin D.
Yeah, which was kind of crazy to me when you said that, especially I know that the type of individuals that you work with are active people. Mm-hmm. They're out in the community. Mm-hmm. They're working every day. And to see that was kind of staggering. And then my own blood work also came back. Though I hope next time we do it, it's going to look really good.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, how does low vitamin D, I guess, present? So you see the blood work. Obviously, you know it's low. But, you know, what are the physical manifestations that a person might identify as? These, something's wrong, you know?
It's kind of, I mean, for vitamin D, it ends up being kind of almost vague. Like they have this overarching fatigue. They're like, their sleep is crappy. Their diet's not. So vitamin D even does something that's like controls calories, whether they turn into muscle or fat.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if they discovered vitamin D today, it would be considered a hormone and not a vitamin. I mean, it does that much stuff.
I hear a lot of people classify it that way as a hormone now.
Yeah, it's
street
catalyst.
Legal.
Yeah,
street legal.
Yep.
Yeah, right on. All right, perfect. So an optimal vitamin D range, 50 to 80 nanograms per milliliter, I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so perfect. So listen, if you got blood work, if you're working with a primary care doctor, be sure you're checking out your vitamin D levels. Food, this one actually kind of surprised me. There's not a whole lot of foods that have vitamin D. And when I was doing the research on it, mushrooms.
Yep.
Believe it or not, mushrooms. But it wasn't just any mushrooms. I mean, it could be any mushrooms. Psilocybin, yeah. And button mushrooms and a few others. But they actually had to have some level of sun exposure. Mm-hmm. And the way I understand it now is that a lot of mushrooms are actually not grown outdoors anymore. And so the number one source in food where you can get vitamin D, you know, is not very prevalent. Obviously, what we've always been taught is to go out in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I think the sun can be extremely healthy for you. You've got to have that right level of exposure, right? I think a lot of people are scared of skin cancer, which could be a valid concern when overdoing it.
So the sun activates vitamin D. You still have to consume it.
Right.
Right. So like you do need some sunlight, but you don't need to be out there for hours. You basically need like 10 or 15 minutes of kind of direct sunlight on your skin or whatever in the morning. Obviously, try not to do it at noon or when you're going to get roasted, but morning, evening sun is good for you.
Yep. So number one deficiency by far, vitamin D. I know for most people in your practice, as well as the individuals that are coming to my pharmacy, we've kind of gone back and forth on a couple of different vitamin D supplements, and we've really landed on the micellized vitamin D3 K2 from T1RX. The great thing about that product, we don't recommend a ton of products when we do these shows and whatnot, but it actually has a what's called a micellized form, which means that it's water soluble. And why that's so important is typical vitamin D supplements, when you take them, they cannot be absorbed in the stomach. Mm-hmm. At best, if they can make it to the small intestine and they can be coated in a layer of fat, they can be brought into the body. Mm-hmm. This particular product is actually, we brought a bottle right here, is actually water soluble. So if you took this, you put it in a glass of water, which would be representative of the stomach, it would actually directly absorb. And then to bolster it, it was also combined with vitamin K2. So this is super important for cardiovascular health. Mm-hmm. So vitamin K2 will shuttle calcium out of the arteries.
Arteries back into the bones. Vitamin D and K2 will reduce the calcium load on your arteries. And
100%.
Kind of that catalytic effect, pulling it out of it, because a lot of cardiovascular issues, like we're insufficient on K2 and vitamin D, and our calcium stays in our arteries, and that's why we actually now screen for a calcium score arterially on our patients.
Yep. And then in addition to that, vitamin K will also inhibit a prostaglandin called PGE2, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is actually responsible for breaking down bone tissue, right? Mm-hmm. So you can actually help prevent bone loss by taking this vitamin K2 supplement. By and large, every human on earth, not everyone, but probably 95% of people should be taking a good vitamin D3 supplement under the supervision of a primary care physician or a pharmacist. I think we've nailed vitamin D. It's a huge issue. It affects almost everybody. It's very difficult to get in your diet. If you get the right type of mushrooms, you might be in luck. But let's move on. Number two, most common micronutrient deficiency. And remember, macros are how you look, micronutrients how you feel. Yep. So what do you think? What's number two?
Mag. Magnesium.
Okay.
And then there's obviously a bunch of different kinds, and it does the same thing. It's controlling your sleep-wake cycle. I mean, it's involved in your RAS system. It's involved in muscular function, right? You get the sodium potassium pumps, but you need magnesium to make that work. You need they don't work alone. And the cool thing with mag is there's a wide therapeutic window. Sodium and potassium are electrolytes that have a very narrow therapeutic window. You don't really, when you look at it, like potassium especially, like that's like you're not taking a ton of potassium, and like when you do start a potassium IV, you've got monitoring and heart monitors and all this stuff. But magnesium is
By and large, right? If your kidneys are good to go, it's really hard to overshoot the target.
Yep.
Right. Your kidneys are going to take everything you need, filter the rest out. Potassium, is that lethal injection? Is that literally what they use? High dose? It'll stop your heart, right?
Yep.
So with magnesium, literally responsible, I think, over 300 different processes throughout the body. Everything from the way that you utilize glucose and insulin sensitivity to the ability to relax and calm down and de-stress, the way that your mind and your body perceives anxiety, right, and anxiousness. So many factors. Winner, magnesium, 100%. Three different types, four different types, I guess we'll talk about. So like super quickly, magnesium oxide. We utilize this most often to just keep everything moving through the GI system. Mm-hmm. Dosing on that could be anywhere between, 400 and 800 milligrams. If you overdo it on there, you're going to be going to the bathroom a whole bunch. When you really dial in your dose, you know, you keep everything moving on a regular basis. And then you've got magnesium, malleate and glycinate. These are chelated magnesiums. They're really great absorption, so they don't tend to make your body to create a diarrheal effect.
Explain what chelation means.
So when we chelate a magnesium, we combine it with another molecule. Mm-hmm. So for malleate, it's malic acid. Mm-hmm. When we combine the two together, we have much higher absorption rates. Same thing with the glycinate. And so instead of it staying in the GI system and drawing water into the GI system, which is great for GI motility, right? This is actually being absorbed into the system. And then you can take it one step further. There's an additional magnesium called magnesium L-threonate. And this one not only absorbs from the GI system to the blood system really well, but it will also go from the blood system across the blood-brain barrier into the brain, into the neural powerhouse.
Absolutely. So then what does that get you? So for me, myself as an example, like by taking that, I have taken myself off of sleeping pills.
Completely.
Awesome. Do not take sleeping pills. Because that effect where it crosses the blood-brain barrier and hits that relaxation, that calming effect, that GABA release, and all the stuff that it does happens very quickly because of its ability to cross the blood-brain barrier. Otherwise, it takes a little while when you take it any other way, which is super interesting. I think it works great. But yeah, absolutely magnesium. It does so much stuff for your body.
100%. So listen, if you're dealing with constipation, anxiety, muscle cramps, insulin insensitivity, that could be something for you to look at.
Or the eye twitches. That's the one that gets people. The eye twitches. People get that little eye twitch. Like,
All right, so moving on next. I put zinc on the list. I think it can be hard to measure and see on some standard panels sometimes, but if you look at just the decline of testosterone in men earlier than life than ever before, I think a lot of that can be attributed back to zinc. And to some extent in younger men, right, we can see a return of testosterone levels with appropriate vitamin D, with appropriate zinc. We got to be honest, right? Men are going to trend off at a certain age. But if you are dealing with low testosterone in your 20s, right, in early 30s, it could be a zinc issue. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think that zinc is imperative to men's health. I mean, it is involved in semen production, is involved in hormone production. It does matter. Even the stuff like people get the little, like when you know somebody's zinc deficient, they'll get the little white specks in their fingernails.
Yep.
And they get just all of the follow-on pieces. But yeah, it kind of just goes back to the whole men's health thing. Like for men's health, a testosterone catalyst.
Yep, 100%. Let's move on to vitamin B. So when people think about vitamin B, they think about energy, right? I need some energy. I need to have vitamin B. So when we look at that, what are some common symptoms, I guess, that you see of low vitamin B levels?
Well, vitamin B is fatigue, right? It gets some hair loss, skin symptoms, mostly it's fatigue. And what strips it out? Vitamin B is water soluble. We're talking about vitamin D is fat soluble vitamin, right? You know, the other stuff we're talking about are minerals. But when we're looking at this, we're looking at this vitamin, it's water soluble. People take oral vitamin D and then they're like, your stomach acid burns it out, right? Yep. So if you inject somebody like a vitamin D injection, you can get once a month and at the same dose of a pill that you take every day to achieve the same metabolic absorption.
Yep.
So yeah, it matters, and it's kind of how you take it. Is it going to survive your stomach acid?
Yeah.
Or are you taking it injectable? That's an option too. You know, we just kind of have to look at it. Really, it helps a lot of people, like I said, with energy and fatigue and the different stuff. Yeah. That's the biggest symptom.
I've been going down this rabbit hole with vitamin B quite a bit lately and its role in methylation. Mm-hmm. Right, and it's getting a lot of attention right now. But as you kind of look through the chemistry and the science of it, we take things from inactive compound to an active compound within the body. And so within the production of dopamine and serotonin and norepinephrine, it all requires an activated vitamin B. So if we're not getting it in our diet, right? And we'll talk about some of the foods that are high in that. If we're not getting it in our diet, and we have a genetic variation where we're not great methylators, we are having tremendous trouble producing these common hormones like serotonin, like dopamine, like norepinephrine. And what are some of the ramifications of inability to produce serotonin.
Oh, oh man, so you're talking all the mental health stuff, right? You're talking, so when I say fatigue for people, what they really dive into really, they're talking about brain fog. Mm-hmm. I just can't think straight, I'm tired, I can't, you know, like, what is that? Well, your brain is telling you if you're tired. If it's not getting what it needs, it's not functioning appropriately, right? So it's in serotonin. You've got your anxiety, depression, all this stuff, and it's, you're not getting it, right? So like we talk about, so kind of segueing off into like the medical side, you know, we look at SSRIs, right? I mean, okay, well, if you think of SSRI, here's the very oversimplistic explanation of SSRI. Think of your brain has little juice boxes poured out, it sprays something on your brain. It's got another straw that reloads the juice box. Mm-hmm. We kink the straw so yep. that you can, the serotonin that you make, the serotonin that gets sprayed onto the brain stays there. Well, that predicates or require that you have serotonin to begin with.
Yeah, 100%. Right? And that's where I'm kind of going with this rabbit hole. Like, what if we're not making the juice? And what if it truly is a vitamin B deficiency? So I know there's a lot of research going on right now. But I think that vitamin B is key to a lot more than we've given it credit for. And a lot of research is going to come out in the next couple of years that suggests.
I absolutely think so too. I think the other one, like, talk about tingling, numbness, and different things. It's like, what do you, people with metabolic syndrome get? Like, you're looking at those things. You're diabetics, you're pre-diabetics, where you're getting some neuropathy. Again, you have to get the nerves, you have to get those things activated so that the nerves work appropriately.
Yeah, 100%. In the meantime, I think while that research is coming out and while we're able to draw a clearer picture, I think the easiest thing that we can do really is to either one, if you have the means and the ability, you can go get a genetic methylation test. You can try to understand whether or not you're a great methylator. And if so, that can inform what type of vitamins that you may want to supplement with. If you don't have that ability to go and do that, you can actually take vitamin B supplements that are already methylated, yep. right? And I think that's the easy solution. For less than $1.50 a day, you can take methylated B vitamins that are going to make sure that your body is able to, you know, produce all of these effective mm-hmm. neurotransmitters. And above and beyond that, without geeking out and getting to the science, there are also different pathways within the liver to detoxify that also require mm-hmm. methylation. So we are taking in an incredible amount of crap in our food.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I mean, why do alcoholics need vitamin B?
Yeah.
Why do they need that? You know, like,
100%.
They've stripped it out. They're no longer able to, for their liver to do that. And yep. so we have to give it to them exogenously.
Yeah, 100%. So if you're looking at your labs, you can look, see elevated homocysteine levels mm-hmm. may be an indicator of decreased vitamin D. You already nailed it with fatigue, brain fog. I think it presents that way a lot. And hormone imbalances in women.
And quite honestly, like, you can come in and without even, a lot of times, try it first.
Yeah.
You know, like, before you're going down the rabbit hole of labs, I mean, it's so innocuous. You know, like, you're so, like, safe, like, it's vitamin B.
100%. You know, for $1.50 a day, get a methylated form, which isn't always the cheapest form, but we'll link a few different things in the show notes, like, very easy and accessible.
Yep.
Methylated vitamin B. Food, so really quickly, if you were trying to get adequate levels with food, beef, liver, salmon, eggs, chicken, yep. turkey, right? What about a vegetarian? I think you got a vegetarian in the family, right? What are your thoughts there?
So my daughter is vegan. So
sorry.
It's like,
sorry. I apologize.
No.
Vegan, not vegetarian.
So her diet, and like I said, she gets all of her stuff, like all her vegetables, her spinach, pea proteins. I mean, her diet is so wide ranging.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went down the rabbit hole on that because like, there's no way she's getting all the stuff she needs. Turns out she is.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, she's doing it right. She's doing all the things, which is great. But yeah, I think it's just, if you are a vegetarian or vegan, you have to have a lot more variety in your diet to achieve
that same level.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And then last but not least, good, healthy omega fats, mm-hmm. right? I think that's severely lacking, you know, within the diet system. Most of us can only afford to buy so much salmon
yeah.
right, in a week. And then above and beyond that, you got to buy the upgraded salmon. You got to buy wild caught,
yeah.
you know, versus something, potentially farmed. The great news is if you are deficient, super easy to supplement, right? Yep. It's probably like one of the most common supplements out there. To just get a good omega-3. Symptoms of low omegas, joint stiffness, inflammation.
Yeah, brain fog, all the things. But you're coming down, like you said, it's inflammation. You don't have the omega-3s. You're not reducing the inflammation appropriately. You're getting the stuff in there. And then, yeah, elevated triglycerides, right? Like, that's the other big one. Like, you need the omega-3s to help you metabolize everything appropriately. Triglycerides are the scourge of our diet because basically it's just junk food.
Yep.
You know, like it's triglycerides. And I mean, to the point where we have specific cholesterol medications that only take care of triglycerides because they're like, oh, well, okay, we're knocking these out, but, you know, yeah, try. It's just it's something to watch. And you definitely need your omega-3s. And it kind of goes in there. It's like the omega-3 index. I don't really draw this. The CRP is much more, much cheaper and more often insurance-covered marker. But, sure. Yeah, that's what you're going to get for most people because you're going to probably end up paying extra if they draw that because they're going to be like, well, why did you order this? And go through that rabbit hole with them. But the elevated CRP, yeah, you probably need some omega-3s in your life.
Right on. All right. So micronutrients, how we feel, those are the five most common deficiencies in micronutrients. They're very, very, very easy to supplement for. Of course, if you can get them in real food, that's great. Mm-hmm. We also live in a reality where we've got to go to work and go to our kids' baseball practice and, you know, hit our side hustle and get to the gym and get really good sleep and learn how to read and grow and go to school and all those things. So easy to supplement. We will link things in the show notes that will have all of our top recommendations mm-hmm. for those items. Last thing before we go, I want to talk real quick about GLP-1s. So in the past 2 years, we've seen the rise of GLP-1s. We've seen phenomenal weight loss, mm-hmm. right? Amazing amounts of weight loss. And at the same time, I think there's a real concern out there that people are losing muscle mm-hmm. and fat all at the same time, right? Yeah. Which can be catastrophic for individuals, especially when they stop taking GLP-1s and just put the fat back on, yep. right? So speak to us a little bit. If you're on a GLP-1, how do you recommend these people eat? Is the recommendation different? And what do you put along with that?
So high protein, I think one of the things that I've found, like you kind of just go back to high protein calories, like you're feeding your muscles. So if you're using the GLP-1s as a tool, like ultimately when for most people, the thing that got you obese is you're sedentary and your diet sucks, mm-hmm. right? So if you're using the GLP-1s as a tool to change your diet and change your lifestyle and give you the jumpstart, that's what matters. Like it's not this, okay, we're going to fix it. Here's a shot. You're skinny, whatever, right?
Yep.
You have to maintain the muscle mass. You have to feed the muscle. You have to optimize your hormones, your nutrients, so that that muscle stays. When that muscle, hold on. Hope that's good, whatever that is. when you keep it, it's all diet-based, right? So that kind of goes back to the high-protein thing. The thing that I've found, too, like with GLP-1s is when they come back, what you're talking about, like the fat comes back or the sugar cravings and the things that they're suppressing come raging back.
Yep.
So where we've mediated that a little bit with a lot of patients is low-dose naltrexone.
Yeah.
And we'll take them off the GLP-1s, put them 90 to 100 days, 80 days of low-dose naltrexone to curb those cravings from screaming back so that they can maintain a healthy relationship with food because your GLP-1s do change your relationship with food. Like yeah. Stuff tastes bad. You don't want it anymore. It's just whatever. You're not hungry. Well, when that comes back, are you going to go back into the old ways you were eating or are you going to go back into proper nutrition,
yeah.
you know, ideal body weight calories, protein, fat, carbs, balanced, macro and micronutrients met, then you're going to feel great.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about like the program that you run. I know that when you do put people on GLP-1s, you've got them on a nutrition program. You've got them focused in on exercise. Like you're literally trying to build better habits mm-hmm. so that when it's time to exit, right? They've hopefully got a different idea and mindset. And then also the other thing I see a lot of success with are people doing either sublingual or oral GLP-1s. They're not as effective for weight loss, but it is a huge help in reducing appetite, mm-hmm. right? Not to the level of the injectable so that people do need to put in a little bit more effort, mm-hmm. but they can still get amazing results.
Right.
Right.
And a good example of a step down program would be like 12 weeks, then you're on the naltrexone. So you can like do like a 36 week where you're not just dumping all this fat, all this muscle, you're getting the most bang for your buck and trying to be whatever that human performance version is, right? The goal is to get healthy. Like everybody wants to be like, I don't want to be on all these meds. Like, but I want this med. Well, yeah. You want to be off of them. Like that's the goal.
Yeah, right? The goal is to be off of all meds.
Off
right?
of all meds. And if yep. you can get all your supplements through your food, do that too.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and land this plane. When it comes to nutrition, I think the biggest thing is we don't want to get on trendy fad diets. Yeah. Keep it simple. It's very high protein, somewhere around 50% of your total calorie intake. Calorie intake is 12 times your ideal body weight. Yep. There are some remarkable tools out there, especially that can be used in the short term, like MyFitnessPal, and I'm sure there's a bunch of others. It's going to be a rise with AI. I think it's going to be really easy one day. I'm just going to say, hey, I had this, this, and this, and it's going to start tracking everything for me. It's got to be here already.
It is. I think if you just play with it and find like what works for you, you know, yeah. I mean, the free ChatGPT account will cover it. You know, like for the most part, it's just, yeah, use the AI, use Google, use whatever, look it up. I mean, all of this information is so readily available that you kind of have to, where our purpose in this now, I think from the medical profession, is to, the patients have the information, it's talking them through what's valid and what's real and debunking all this stuff and trying to add some credibility to it and give it, say, okay, well that's, yes, that is somewhat true, but it's in this study and it was only one case study, or, you know, I saw this, well, it was a case study of five people. Well, that's not necessarily the best, but it is a start of understanding something, right?
Yeah, and as we were talking before the show, it's not extremely complicated. I think what people lack sometimes is the accountability, right? Yeah. And so getting with a good primary care physician who you can be honest with and they can be honest with you, can be extremely, extremely helpful in that respect. So the only thing we didn't touch on, I'm gonna ask your opinion real quick, is fasting. So I've heard amazing things about fasting. I heard it's not good for your hormones. Like, what is your clinical opinion on fasting?
I think that a lot of people do intermittent fasting wrong. Okay. Like they think that it's...
Tell me about it.
I guess if you're going to fast, I'd say fast one 24-hour period one day a week.
Okay.
Like, that's my takeaway from it. I think that a lot of people basically end up starving themselves, mm-hmm. or they got their body in starvation mode, so then all these calories, just they're not... not quite doing it right. Because really, at the end of the day, what are they ultimately doing? Calorie restriction.
Right.
Right? The reason that, like, you can go on keto and kind of eat whatever protein you want is your body's going to take what it needs. It's in ketosis. Those ketones are coming out. You're only going to turn so many of them to glucose. Your body's going to just off-gas them, or you're going to excrete them in whatever way. So, I mean, it is
calorie restriction, keto for sure. And it's kind of hard to find food, right? Yeah, you can't go through Chick-fil-A. Maybe you could, but.
But everything, all those fat diets, that's what they come down to. It's like, okay, how are they restricting calories?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Because if you just know your number, know your targets, know what you like, you can do it. It's just oversimplify it.
And then I guess the last thing to talk about was alcohol. Like, if you're trying to be an optimized human, you know, and you want to be in that top 5%, or what role does alcohol play? When is it okay to have a little bit? Does it fit in routinely?
What are your thoughts? Alcohol plays zero health role whatsoever. Everything that they say about alcohol, red wine's good for you, that's all bullshit.
Yep.
Period, in the story. They get alcohol as a brand, it's whatever. I mean, I come at that from the standpoint that I am an alcoholic, so I'm, you know, sober and everything else, but knowing what I know now and everything else, like, it's, there is no good amount of alcohol.
Right.
I mean, if you can do it in moderation and you're using it, understanding that it is not good for you, you're making that conscious decision as an adult, but there's no medical reason to drink anything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people have a history of it. You know, my recommendation for our pharmacy patients has been like, hey, if you really feel like you have to have something to drink, do it for your anniversary, mm-hmm. do it for your birthday, do it for very special occasions. Mm-hmm. But on a Monday through Sunday basis, it really doesn't have a role in the diet.
You're way better off using cannabis. Like, period. It's like, you're like, that's just the reality of it, as far as like whatever, like, there's no good healthy amount of alcohol.
There is no healthy amount of alcohol. Okay, cool. I just want to get that on the record. All right, so call to action. I think just for me, over the next 14 days, if you can really hone in on those protein goals, so, you know, try to understand what your calorie needs are based on your ideal body weight. There's a lot of easy calculators out there to determine what you should weigh based on your height. And there's variability, I'm sure, right on that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, like, so like one of the things that I always find out, I'll kind of end on this, people go, well, I was 120. I was like, well, you've been carrying this extra weight around. You have really strong legs. Like, people that are going to start to lose weight, they're going to have really strong legs because they were heavy. Yep. They're carrying all the weight around. Accept that. Use it. Go do more squats, right? Like, it just, you're going to be a few pounds heavier, but that's going to be muscle. That's okay.
Yeah, and I think I fall in that category because, like I told you, when I came out of pharmacy school in 2010, 2012, I weighed 265 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was active. I was doing a ton of, you know, sports and lifting and everything else, and then eating everything in sight, mm-hmm. sleeping very little. And so, you know, for me, I do have big legs, strong legs, and working my way back down the weight, you know, curve. But, you know, some references will say I should weigh 180 pounds. Like, that's gonna be a really difficult one for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm shooting for like a 205. I'm currently sitting at about 228. But I guess you just get to that weight, see how you look, feel, and perform.
Yeah.
You know, and then go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. If you feel good at it, like I said, I know mine's like 195. That's still heavy for my size, like, but it's where I perform the best, where I feel like I'm the best.
So. Yep, 100%. Well, listen, if you're in the state of Florida and you're looking for a good primary care doctor that can work with you on weight management and helping you with your goals, reach out to Emerald Medical. Yeah. I think they're a really great resource. If you're in some sort of a pharmacy need here in the state, we're here to help as well. We're going to link all of those supplements within the show notes. What else do we have?
I think we're good for today. Appreciate it. 100%.
Have a good day. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.